And turn to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. I want to read you that passage again that I read at the very beginning of the service. It says in verse number 1, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse number 6, I want you to pay attention to what it says. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. And I want you to pay close attention to the last part of that verse. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. As the world is considering so many different things today, as they're considering the financial crisis, and some are considering a possible war with Korea, and others are considering that what the government is doing as far as trying to ban weapons, and then we're being bombarded with the news media about the legalization of sodomy. We stop and think about all of those things, and we have to consider all of those things, and I believe consider those things accurately and honestly and biblically. But I believe that there's something even more today that each and every one of us need to consider more than all of these temporal issues. May I remind you that one day Jesus Christ is going to solve all the problems in the world, even everything that is going on in our society and around the world. But one thing we need to understand today, and one thing we need to consider, more than all of these earthly problems that we face, we need to consider what it says in verse number 6. I believe that every person needs to understand that we are here this morning because the tomb is empty. Christ is risen from the dead. And I believe that every person that is here today and every person around the world really needs to consider this morning. They need to consider the meaning of the empty tomb. Why should I consider a tomb that's been empty for 2,000 years? And I'm going to give you just four things this morning real quickly. And then you can go on throughout your day. But I really believe that we need to consider this morning, we have an empty tomb. Amen? The tomb is empty. And I think we need to consider it for four reasons. Number one, we ought to consider the empty tomb because it is a place of peace. It is a place of peace. It says in verse number 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not. They didn't have to worry anymore. They didn't have to be afraid anymore. You see, we need to consider the empty tomb because it was a place of peace, and the heavenly messenger proclaimed to the women, Fear not. There is no need to fear the past with all of its sin, with all of its failure. There is no need to fear the present. Why? Because victory has come today. There is no need to fear the future. Why? Because God is in control and Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And I can say that same thing is true for us today as what it was 2,000 years ago. Amen? We need to understand today that we don't have to fear because we have a risen Savior. He's risen from the dead. I challenge every other religion in the world. Where is your Savior? Where is your Messiah? Where is your religious leader? Those have come up through time, and those that have led masses of people to follow them, they have lived, they died, and they're dead today. But Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, He lived in this world, and He, because He was God, He died on the cross of Calvary for our sin, and 3 days later, according to the Scripture, up from the grave He arose. It was a place of peace. There is no need to fear because of that. And number two, The angel said, fear not. The angel, a messenger from God, he said, don't fear. And Christian, today, I don't think we have to fear. Those of you that have lost loved ones recently, you don't have to fear. Those of you that are going through struggles, you don't have to fear if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But may I warn you this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to fear. Because one day you're going to stand before God. And the books are going to be opened. And another book is going to be opened, which is the book of life. And the dead are going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And by the way, listen to me. If you are judged according to your works today, and you are to stand before God, and everything was laid out, all of those secret things, all of those hidden things, how do you think you'd fare? I think the gavel would come down and God would say, guilty as charged. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, or Christ, the iniquity of us all. We need to understand today, it was a place of peace. And if you will consider the empty tomb today, listen, you'll never have to fear again. Number two. Look at verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. The angel said, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. The second thing I'd like to have you consider about the empty tomb, it was a place not only of peace, but it was a place of personal invitation. It was a place of personal invitation. It says here in verse number 6, the angel said, come. If you read in the Gospel of Mark chapter number 16, verse number 6, it actually uses a different word. It says, behold the place. And the word behold means to look intensely upon and consider what has taken place. Behold the place. The angel said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. I think we need to consider the empty tomb because it was a place of personal invitation. You know, the Bible gives a lot of invitations throughout the Scripture. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, Jesus Christ invites all to come. We find in the Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 17, Jesus said, come, for all things are now ready. The very last and final invitation of the Bible, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Listen, if you're thirsty today, if you are longing to see God, if you are longing to get rid of the sin that's in your life, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can not only wash your sins as white as snow, but listen, He can give you a brand new life. It was a place of a heavenly invitation. You say, what's the extent? How far does the invitation go? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. What is the extent? May I remind you that there were other people that died that day along beside of Jesus Christ. There was malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And the one, they actually both began to cry out and they said, if you really are God, go ahead and save yourself and us. And then one of them repented and said, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. He said, we've received the just rewards of our deeds. He says, but remember me. And Jesus looked at him and he said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. May I remind you the extent of the invitation, all may come. All may come. It doesn't make any difference who you are today. It doesn't make any difference what you've done in the past. The invitation is open to you to come to Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? For whosoever, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The invitation is open to all. It's not just open to a certain race. And it's not just open to a certain group of people with a certain amount of education. It's open to whosoever will. If a person will repent of their sins and look to Jesus Christ by faith to save them, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus would never cast out a single person that would come to him by faith and say, Lord, I repent of my sins and I'm trusting you today to save me. What is the depth? The extent is to all. What is the depth that God will go to save? The Bible says in Psalm 40, verse number 2, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. Jesus Christ was willing to come down and, being God, be born into this world, live a sinless life, and die a sinner's death, to be spit upon and mocked and rejected and beaten and crucified. And that's what He did for you and I. And God looked down through time and He saw His Son become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The depth of the invitation, the Bible says, He brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:25, I like this verse, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I like what Brother Don Hardman said a number of years ago. He said, when Jesus Christ comes, He comes to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen? And Jesus Christ can do that. Regardless of how far that your life has wandered from God, and regardless of how much sin that you've got into, Jesus Christ is able to pick you up and lift you out of the miry clay and establish your feet and to put them on a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. That's good to know. You see, the empty tomb is a place of a heavenly invitation. And if you've never responded to the invitation of God, you need to consider the empty tomb today. And you need to consider what Jesus Christ has done for you. Look at verse number 6. I want you to notice the third thing. Moving right along. Verse number 6, look what the angel said. The angel said this in verse 6, He is not here, for He is risen as He said. He is risen as He said. What does that mean? It means we are to consider the empty tomb because of the miracle of life that took place there. There was a miracle of life. By the way, that is not uncommon for God. God is the author of life. Amen? The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7 that He formed man out of the dust of the ground. Regardless of what your evolutionary public school system books say, God created man. We did not evolve out of some slimy pit somewhere out there. We were created. We are a created being. And the Bible says in Genesis 2:7 that God took the dust of the ground and He formed a man. And He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, you know, it's one thing to go ahead and fabricate something. Bob, he fabricates, and I know that some of you guys do some welding and stuff. And it's one thing to make something. Ladies, it's one thing to make something in your home, a craft or something. But I'd like to go ahead and challenge you, make something out of nothing. Amen? And that's what God did. I mean, He spoke the worlds into existence, and then out of the dead soil, He formed a man, He breathed into that which was dead, and all of a sudden, life began. You see, life is, that's something that's not uncommon to God. God is all about life. And Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, the Bible says. I want you to notice that Jesus Christ is the author of life. God is the author. Not only would we consider man, but we also consider, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 9:4, talks about Aaron's rod that budded. Now, last night we on the television they had the famous show by Cecil B. DeMille's, The Ten Commandments. How many of you watched that? I think that's probably one of the best shows that's ever been created. I know that there's probably things in it that is probably not right, but you know what? I enjoy watching that. I especially, you know, when the waters part. Nobody's able to do it like what you know, Moses did on that movie. But as I was watching that, you know, I began to think about Aaron's rod. And the Bible says that here was a staff, a cane. And Aaron's rod, out of a dead staff, all of a sudden started to grow and to bud. Something completely dead. That's not uncommon for God, because God is the author of life. And then I think about Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus came to the tomb and He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And all of a sudden, the stone was rolled back. He come walking out. He said, "Unbind him." We need to understand today, the place of the tomb is a place of a miracle of life. Now listen. Listen real close. Young people, moms and dads, listen. The Bible says, "Whereas by one man, sin entered the world, and death for sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." When God told Adam and Eve about all the things of the garden, He said, "Now look, there's one thing you can't do. You can't eat of the knowledge of the good, the tree of good and evil. You can't eat of that thing, because the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die." And of course, we know that they had disobeyed and they died. They died, but they continued to live. Isn't that odd? You see, the physical death process started, but they were cut off from God, and spiritual death took place that day. And because spiritual death took place, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 3 that Adam begat sons in his own likeness. That tells me that every person that has been born since Adam and Eve were created, we are born with that sinful nature, that fallen nature. We are born dead spiritually. And if you are ever going to enter into the presence of God, you need to be born again or born from above so that you can have life and life more abundantly. You see, the place of the tomb was a place of the miracle of life. And today, if you will consider the empty tomb, and you will come to Christ and say, "Lord, I'm lost and I need a Savior." And if you will repent of your sins and trust Christ by faith, He will save your soul and He will give you life and life more abundantly. Right. If you want eternal life and you want an abundant life, then what you need to do, you need to come to the risen Christ. Amen? Come to the risen Christ. And He can give you life. Now turn over to Mark 16 and I'll be closing. And I want you to look at Mark 16, look at verse number 9 through verse number 11. Mark 16, verse number 9 through verse number 11. Why consider the empty tomb? Number one, it's a place of peace. Number two, it's a place of a heavenly invitation. Number three, it's a place of a miracle of life. And number four, it is a place of personal decision. I cannot make a decision for you. And there is nobody in this room that can make a decision for you but you. I can pray and others can pray. I can plead. I can point to, like John the Baptist did. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I can do that. But I can't get saved for anybody. It's a personal decision. And after the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ appeared to Mary. And it says in verse number 9 of Mark 16, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week," what day of the week was it? It was the first day of the week, or Sunday. All right? And by the way, how many days was Jesus Christ in the heart of the earth? 3 days and 3 nights. What happened to Good Friday? Jesus Christ was not crucified on Good Friday. He could not have been. If you go back and study it out, he was actually crucified on Wednesday. So we have good Wednesday services around here. Amen? But I want you to notice here, he appeared to Mary the first day of the week. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils, and she went and told them that had been with him. She went to the disciples. She went to the disciples and she said this, "I saw the Lord. He's risen from the grave." They looked at her and they said, "You're nuts. We watched him get crucified. We watched him as they nailed the nails into his hands and into his feet. And we watched as the Roman soldier took the spear and shoved it into his side. And we watched as the blood and the water came out. He's dead. We put him in the tomb. He's dead." She says, "No. Remember what he said? He is risen. He is risen." Here was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene believed. And those that had been with Jesus, I would venture to say that was probably the apostles. They did not. You see, we have a personal decision to make. Are we going to believe Jesus? Or are we going to disbelieve? Are we going to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? Or are we going to walk out rejecting Him? May I remind you, the tomb is empty today. And we have a victorious King of Kings. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand today that we are assembled together today because we have a risen Savior. But the question is He your personal Savior? John chapter number 1, verse 11 and 12, it says, "He came into His own, and His own received Him not." Well, we know that Jesus went to the Jews and the Jewish people rejected Him. They cursed Him. They mocked Him. They spit upon Him. They beat Him. They platted a crown of thorns upon His head. They crucified Him. You see, the Jews rejected Him. He came unto His own and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him. I remember back on October 30th, 1978, just a young man, I realized I was lost. I realized that I was under the judgment of God because of my sin. And that day at an old-fashioned altar, I bowed my head and my heart and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me. And I trusted what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary as complete payment for my sin. I'm here to tell you, life has changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the Bible tells us here in this passage of Scripture that the tomb was a place of a personal decision. And my friends, what type of decision will you make today? Mary believed. Others did not. But what about you? Today, the tomb is still empty. If you take a trip to Israel, you can even go to the tomb that they believe that Jesus Christ was placed into. And you can go in there and you can actually look inside the tomb. And you know what? He's not there.
Amen?
Amen? He's not there. He is risen from the dead. I really believe that changes everything. It ought to change our life. It ought to change the philosophy of life that we have. Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." The tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. Salvation is complete. The invitation is to whosoever will. And the question is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And He invites you to come to Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the angel invited Mary and those that were there to come and see the place where the Lord lay, Today I invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. There's never been a time in your life, if there's never been a time in your life when you've ever called on the Lord to ask Him to save you, I know what I would do. If I was you, I would say, Lord, I'm lost and I need a Savior. And I'd call out to Him in prayer, and you can do that right in your seat. And call out to Him and ask Him to save you. It's not about a prayer, it's about trusting a Savior. In just a moment, we're going to have the piano and the organ play through a verse of invitation. I gave my life for thee. Certainly He did. But will you respond to His personal invitation? Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that You be with us. And Lord, I pray that You bless this invitation. And Lord, I feel that there are some that are here today that need to respond. Respond to the invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and come and receive Christ today. Father, we're thankful for the empty tomb. We're thankful, Lord, that You rose from the dead that we might have a completed salvation. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray, Lord, they get saved today. Guide and direct, we ask it in Jesus' name.